Anyone who has a desire to live for Jesus has a desire to grow in their Christian life. Now, if you don't want to grow, you might be just dead. You might want to just check that you have some life in you. But we sang our last congregational song. I didn't know on the schedule, but the song was, I'm pressing on towards what? Higher ground. You probably remember as a child, I do. Now, I was a pretty little guy growing up. The biggest thing I knew was my eyebrows and my teeth. Eyebrows have kind of stayed that way, so still struggling. But I remember just the desire to grow, and I would stand up by the wall, and my mom would take a pencil, and she would mark where my head was, and I'd turn around and see if I'd grown, and I still hadn't grown. And so the frustration, I felt like every day, maybe I would just grow another inch. Now, I don't worry about it too much. I try not to grow in certain ways, but just the excitement and the joy as a child of growing. Just to hear these people getting saved and what do I do next? But sometimes we've been in church for 15 or 20 years and we're kind of satisfied with where we are. And my challenge is very simply, the subject matter of today is moving forward for the Lord. Moving ahead for the Lord. Luke chapter number 9, we're going to look at verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse number 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now I've come to understand, it's pretty easy for us to make commitments. I don't know how many times that I've come to an altar and I've said, Lord, I will do this, or I will do this, or I will be a good husband, or I will be a soul winner, or I will, you know, try to win somebody to the Lord. And it's easy here. This guy has a pretty good commitment. I will follow thee wherever you go. Which is interesting. Jesus doesn't pat him on the back and say, ha, come with me. He almost discourages him. Verse number 58, and Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Now this is our text for this morning. Verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man, and I want to emphasize that he's including everyone. No man, having put his hand to the plow, and what's the next phrase? Looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now let's turn over to Luke chapter 17. Some people say, well, the Bible's just so hard to understand. Now, I got to agree with you. Gideon, my oldest son, has just finished the book of Job. And when he started, I said, Gideon, there's going to be some pretty tough things in there. And so he finished yesterday. I said, Gideon, was this some pretty tough stuff? Yes, sir. That was some hard stuff in there. I said, we'll get to it. We'll learn as we grow in the Lord. But there are some verses that are pretty simple for us to understand. So if you're struggling with the simplicity of the Word of God, let me help you with Luke chapter number 17, verse number 32. It's three words. Remember Lot's wife. Now this is a command from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the verses we read before, it gives this idea of a man. He grabs a hold of a plow. He's plowing a field, and he has a focus. He has a responsibility. He has a job to do. But Jesus is no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Verse number, chapter 17, verse number 32 says, remember Lot's wife. For sake of time, I think we all are familiar with the story. They are leaving the city of Sodom as God is about to rain fire and brimstone upon the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know their wickedness. He looked down and he says, I just can't stomach it anymore. I think he's getting that way with America. We live in a sick world, a wicked world, and I think just makes God sick. But he told Lot, you better leave. And of course, he lingered in the city. And the angels, the Bible says, they hastened Lot and they grabbed a hold of him. And they had a very simple command. Don't look back. And we know what happened, right? As they left the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, his wife turned around and looked back. And she became what? A pillar of salt. Now, I'm not saying this morning that if you turn around and look back in your past, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. But I think Jesus is being very clear with us. If you're going to move ahead for the Lord, if you have a purpose, if you have a responsibility, if there's a task at hand, and by the way, there is a task at hand, and that's to win this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But so many people say, you know, I want to move ahead for the Lord, but the problem is they're always looking back. I'm a runner. I like to run. Some people think I'm nuts. I love to run. When I was a kid, we have this at our church. We have about a 20-acre lake, and around that lake is a road. And every year, right around the first part of our school year, we hold a cross-country race. It's about 3/4 of a mile around, and so our K-3 all the way up through high school run laps around the lake there. Well, there was one guy in my class that I just couldn't beat. Now, again, I told you I was short. Bajo for you those that don't know Spanish, all right? And my little legs would just barely go. And this guy just irritated the fire out of me because he had long legs. And what he would do is the race would take start. He would take off, kind of spread the gap. And then my little legs just kept going, catch up to him. He'd look, see where I was, take off again. And we would go around that lake. First graders have to run one lap. Second to sixth have to run 3 laps, 2 miles. And I just couldn't beat him. And I just hated him. I was bitter. I still am, actually. So sixth grade rolled around, and the guys don't have to run it after sixth grade because we're involved in the sports program. So I trained and I worked, and I remember the day of the race. I said, I'm going to beat him. I'm going to get him this time. So went around lap number one. He was doing the same thing. Lap number two, he was doing the same thing. I kept just bridging the gap and just catching up in it. We came to the lap number three, and what I failed to tell you is the hill on the backside of the lake was a gravel road. And so I'd run, and I'd just try to, that's where I'd catch up with most of the guys on the hill. And I came up to him, and he was on the hill, and I came right up next to him, and he turned and looked back to see where I was, and he slipped. Now, I got to be honest with you. I did not apply the story of the Good Samaritan at that moment. I did not reach down, heal up his wounds. I just kept on trucking, hoping he would stay down. It was hurt for a real long time. I ended up winning that race, beating him because, very simply, he looked back. Now, the title of the message today is Don't Look Back. I've got about 20, 25 minutes, so let's look at some things that in our lives will hinder our forward progress if we look back. Number one is very simple. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. I tell you what, the devil is so good at bringing up our past. Well, you know, you want to move ahead for the Lord. You want to make commitments. But in the back of your mind, the devil keeps saying, well, remember when you were 14 years old and you did that. Remember when you were 18 years old and you did that. And we sit back and say, you know, I guess I just can't move ahead because I did these things in the past. Let's turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. I'll begin reading if you can catch up with me. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now I want you to get this next phrase. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from, help me out, all sin. Verse number 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all. Now, we know these verses. These are some of the verses maybe you've memorized. But can I just drive it home? Quit dwelling on the sins of the past. If you go to Jesus and you confess those sins and you forsake those sins, the promise is you and I shall have mercy. And don't we need mercy today? But so many people want to confess, but they don't want to forsake. Praise the Lord, we are guaranteed forgiveness of all of our sins. Paul was a murderer. I didn't meet any murderers today, and I hope I don't. But he had to put that behind him, realizing that the blood of Jesus washed away those sins. Now, I don't know all of you today, but there might be somebody here that doesn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, let me stop here just for a minute. Praise the Lord, I've been saved for 25 years. I've been in church for 38 years. All I've known is church, and I absolutely love it. But I can't say I always had, because I was a good kid. I thought I was better than the snotty-nosed bus kids because I had a good upbringing. I went to a Christian school. But I had to come to grips with the fact that I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And until I came to that fact, I could not become a Christian. But so many people say, Brother Ramus, you don't know my past. You don't know the things that I've done. I've done this. I don't need to know. But I have this promise. If you come to Christ, He will forgive all of your sins. I have four children the Lord has blessed us with. Gideon, Titus, Marissa, Karis. And I'll tell you what. They act so much like their father. It's scary. I'm being honest with you, man. In the way our world is, I'm scared for their futures. That's why I just hold to the book, because I cannot raise my kids by myself. But man, I want to teach them that when they come to dad, I'm going to forgive them because I am in a picture of God for them in their little minds. And I tell you what, when they do wrong and they crawl up on my lap after I discipline them, I don't just shove them off and say, you know what your problem is? You're just a rebel. No, you'd say you're foolish as a father. That's exactly right. There's no difference when we sin and we are chastened by Almighty God, our Heavenly Father. He just embraces us and says, you're forgiven. Stop dwelling on the sins of the past. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying today that you're not going to reap what you sow. I believe David received forgiveness, but he sure had to reap some things, did he not? But one of my favorite verses in Scripture, I'm not going to ask you to turn there, is Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. And I believe those things maybe that you've done in your life that are bad, those weeds are going to grow up. But as you begin to plant those seeds of righteousness together, they're going to grow up and they're going to choke out some of those bad things. Man, my dad didn't get saved till I was in college. He did some pretty rough things, but he got saved almost 20 years ago now. And I tell you what, he's been able to see some things of righteousness being reaped because he started sowing those things after he lived a rough life, if you follow my illustration. But I just can't move ahead for God. I mean, Pastor Adam's going to think, you know, he knows what I did when I was 15. Who cares? Well, you don't know that. That person knows. I must quit worrying about that. If it's under the blood, don't worry about it. Let's just keep on going for the Lord. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. One night in a church service, a young woman felt the tug of God in her heart. She was not a Christian. She responded to God's call and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. The young woman had a pretty rough past involving alcohol, drugs, and just all that goes with it. But the change in her was evident. She became in Christ. She became a new creature. As time went on, she became a faithful member of that church, teaching young children and getting involved. And it wasn't very long in her Christian life that she got the attention and the eye of the pastor's son. Relationship grew and things progressed, and finally wedding plans came along, and that's when problems began. You see, about half of the church didn't think a woman with a past such as hers was suitable for a pastor's son. So they began to argue and fight about things, and they decided to have a church-wide meeting. They got up and made their arguments, and tensions increased, and the meeting was getting completely out of hand. This young lady became, of course, very upset and began to cry as her past was brought to the surface. Pastor's son couldn't bear the pain it was causing his fiancée, and he stood up and said this, "My fiancée's past is not what is on trial here. What you are questioning is the ability of the blood of Jesus to wash away sin." So he posed the question, does the blood of Jesus wash away sin or not? The whole church began to weep as they realized they had been slandering the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm so thankful that God is not like me. Because when somebody comes and asks for my forgiveness, I might say, yeah, brother, I forgive you. But it's really back in the back of my mind. Don't ever think about doing it again or I'll kill you. That's my flesh. But when you go to Jesus, saved or unsaved, He is going to take your sins as far as the east is from the west, they are gone. Now, I'm trying to encourage you this morning because I think most of you say, I want to move ahead for God. I want to grow in my Christian life. Well, you'll never grow if you keep looking back at sins that have been forgiven. Quickly, number two, don't look back at defeats that get you down. Don't raise your hand, but I will. I don't know how many times I've been defeated in my Christian life. I've done this, and I just... And I know I've frustrated my pastor, and I know for sure I've frustrated my parents, and I've let them down, and I've let my wife down, and I've let my children down. And sometimes I say, Lord, why is it so difficult? And sometimes I just feel like I'm defeated. You've been there? But if you lose and never continue on, what benefit are you going to receive? What if when you pass out a track for the first time and that person just kind of does one of these numbers? And you want to just knock their block off? But yet you say, well, that was so intimidating. I don't think I could ever do that again. Some people live that way. Well, someone just doesn't work. Well, did you get saved the first time you heard the gospel? I didn't. But I'm glad someone kept plugging away and plugging away and plugging away and plugging away. But we just, it's just so hard. It's just so frustrating. I don't think I can just go ahead for God because I got hurt. A lot of people quit churches because he didn't recognize me. Sounds like my 2-year-old. Sorry. When I was 10, I was going down state to be one of the state qualifiers in our wrestling. And I met this kid just before the state finals. His name was Greg Larson. And my coach, I remember him coming up to me, he says, Eric, you should whoop this kid. He looks like a little girl. That's exactly what he said. And he kind of did. He did. And so I went out to the match. I really wasn't focused on the match. Next thing I know, Pastor, it was 17-1. I didn't even make it through the second period. That boy rolled me. He put my body in a little pretzel. And I got off the mat. I shook this little girl looking boy or whatever just whooped me. And I was 17-1. I wrestled him again the following Saturday. He beat me. It wasn't quite so bad. I was a little more prepared, 8-1. Then down to the state finals. It was bad, but 17-1 was humiliating. State finals, I meet up with him. And, he beat me again. I had this nightmare about this kid named Greg Larson. I'd see this little boy looking like a little girl attacking me. He beat me in the state finals. Next year I wrestled him again, lost him again. The fifth time. 1-1, third period, 10 seconds left in the match. I can remember it was like yesterday. I shot in on him. Next thing you know, my body was going in the air, flat to my back once again. 5 times I'd never beat Greg Larson. To this day, I hate him. Now, I'm being serious. I'm being real serious. So I was at a tournament. This is 20-some years ago. I was at a tournament last year with our high school boys, and I was talking to a coach, and I brought up a name. I said, is you ever hear Greg Larson? He's like, he's right over there. Like, I got a gun in my car. I went over, talked with him, and he said, I remember you. I said, I definitely remember you. But if I would have quit because I got defeated, I would have never progressed as a wrestler. I'm not pumping myself up, but 7th, 12th grade, I was 119-8. That was my record over those 6 years. You say, oh, you're great. No, you have to move on. You know you're going to fall sometimes, but a just man falleth. And then what does he do? Lay there and say, oh, it's just so hard. The Christian life is just so tough. What does he do? He gets back up. And some of us, you might have gotten knocked down by the devil a few times. You might have gotten knocked down by a coworker or a family member. Whoever it is, I'm encouraging, if you're going to move ahead for the Lord, you got to just get back up. Don't look back at sins that have been forgiven. Don't look back at defeats that get you down. Praise the Lord, failure is not final. For some it is, because they stay right where they are. Just get back up. Number three, quickly, don't look back at the past and see it was better than it was. I don't understand this. I don't understand this. Remember the people of Israel? They were slaves for 400 years. And they got sick of it. And finally, they called out to the Lord and asked for deliverance. And he brings a deliverer in an amazing way, basically saying, I'm bigger than the gods of Egypt. Wow, I would have loved to have been there in that time. Then they get in some tough times. And they come to Moses and says, we remember the cucumbers. I'm like, you got to do better than that. And the garlic. And the fish and the melons. We remember those things. And they say a phrase that I find interesting, that we did freely eat. They weren't free. They were slaves. And they said, we just want to go back into slavery. Now, I don't understand that. They got deliverance, but it got tough. Now, let me stop here for a minute. I don't know who here is a new Christian, but you were the one that came and said, my life's a mess. I need help. I need Jesus. And you came to Jesus and he forgave you. And then you start to realize that the Christian life is not going to be a bed of roses. It wasn't for our Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't for Moses, and go down the list. And it's not going to be for you. I'm not Joel Osteen that says, everything's just going to be so nice. No, it's not. But you look and you sit back and you say, Brother Ramus, it's hard. I think I just want to go back. Then we got young people that grow up in church, and they're always looking over the fence. What am I missing on out there? Let me tell you, absolutely nothing. I have no desire to go in the world at all. Don't look back at the past. And you'll see family members out there, friends, and they're having their birthday parties on Sunday, and they're having all their, you know, their boating trips, and you got to go to church. Forget the past. Let's move ahead. Number four, don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. Now, I'm kind of hitting a bunch of things, but kids have a problem when they get scabs. They're interesting to them. Dad, look! What's wrong with you? You know, we try to cover them, and they got to show everybody, look, let me show you my wounds or whatever. And they open these things back up continually, and we're saying, no, keep them closed because it could get infected. Let's apply it to us mature ones. Mrs. Edmonds, she didn't say hi to me. She's probably backslidden. Now, I'm being facetious, but I hear this all the time from pastors. So-and-so left the church. Why? Well, I mean, we got a different carpet, color carpet than they wanted. I'm being serious. And we have these wounds that somebody did to me 13 and a half years ago, 48 hours, and we have it down. And we keep opening those things up. And anytime you see that person, and you'll never move ahead for God because you're looking back in the past. Old conflicts that will make you bitter. Last, quickly, don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think you have arrived.
Well, brother, I used to run a bus route at Fairhaven Baptist Church for 11 years, and I would bring the people in. I had people saved, and I tell you what, we had revival. You say, when was that, Brother Eric? That was about 13 years ago. And if you go to our church, there's this plaque, and my name's there, from 1947. And you live that way, and you never move ahead because of what you used to do. You with me? And you stay, if you will, a spiritual midget, because you're always looking back at, I preached one time and 48 people came down the aisle. And you dwell in the past. And you don't move ahead. Now, us evangelists, we have like 8 sermons total. So don't ask me to preach more than 8 times because I'm up a creek. I mean, after preaching 8 sermons, you should be pretty decent at least at one of them. But we start to think that we're something that we're really not. And we want everybody to be impressed with our accomplishments, and we never move ahead for the Lord. It's very simple. Paul had to say this, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before, he says this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The most discouraging thing when I door knock is people say, oh, I used to go to church. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to work a bus ride. I used to teach a Sunday school class. I used to. If you know my mom, she's a great lady. She likes to talk a lot. She loves the Lord. She's been teaching her first grade Sunday school class for almost 38 years, I believe. She just went through chemotherapy and radiation and surgery. I think she missed her class one time. You say, she teaches first grade Sunday school. And she just keeps teaching first grade Sunday school and keeps teaching first grade Sunday school and keeps teaching first grade Sunday school. You know what, folks? We are not required in the Christian life to be successful. Thank you, Jesus. But we are required to be faithful. That means we are supposed to just keep on going, keep on going, keep on going. Well, I did a family night with my kids. Well, the kids need more than just one good family night. They need 52 every year. And then they need some extras, and they need family devotions, and they need this, and they need this, and they need this. We can't dwell in the past, or our kids are going to be spiritual midgets, and they're going to stay that way. And our churches just need for us fathers to step up and to be strong and to hold the book high and say, kids, follow Jesus. Not what we did 3 years ago on a family vacation. Are you with me? I'm done. But I'm encouraging you this morning, don't look back. If I could sing, I would sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And if you do that, you make that commitment, what does it say? No turning back. No turning back. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom of God. A lot of young people start Bible college. A lot of people start coming to church. They come and say, man, they got a Christian school. They got a youth program. They got Vacation Bible. Man, this church is awesome. And where are they? Now, it's easy for us to preach at them. But where have you stopped? Where have I stopped? What are you looking back at today? I close. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, can I encourage you by this? Any sin that you've done in the past, He died for that. He wants to save your soul. He invites you, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Throughout the scripture, there are hundreds of invitations of our Lord Jesus. You can know Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Someone could take their Bible this morning and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. What a wonderful day that would be. After that begins this growth that I'm talking about. This moving ahead for God. You'll never move ahead if you're looking back.